You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour podcast. Thank you, the lovely Football Hour friend, for listening, for subscribing to this podcast. It's going to be a good one. Dom Betts is here with me and we are going to be talking Chelsea. They got off to the worst possible start at home to Burnley. They were 3-0 down. I checked my phone at halftime when I was at the Leeds game. I couldn't believe it. Sam Vokes was doing bits. Burnley were doing bits. Chelsea, they're in bits.
Yeah, I thought it was absolutely hilarious, to be perfectly honest, when I saw the phone scored at halftime. I could see it coming, to be honest. There's only been sort of bad vibes coming out of Chelsea for the last 2 weeks or so. Antonio Conte has not been a happy man at that club. I don't think he wanted to sell Matic, and it's weird they sold him to your direct rivals, and you sort of gave your rivals in Man United the missing piece of the jigsaw, which we saw against West Ham on Sunday, because Matic just frees up the likes of Pogba and Ander Herrera and obviously likes of Lukaku, Martial, Rashford, etc. He just provides that defensive cover. I think that sort of player's what he missed last season, and it sort of limited what Pogba could do. But going back to Chelsea, I mean, if we look at the red card from Gary Cahill first, do you think that's a red card?
No, I don't. But it just completely changed the game. We were saying on the Manager Watch series how good Cahill was going to be as captain. Why is he going and doing that? That's not what you need to be doing. It's so funny because I think he's easily the most uncomfortable one of the back three of David Luiz, Aspilicueta and obviously Gary Cahill on the football. We saw last year he's a right-footed centre-half playing left centre-back in a three. Burnley, all the time, were just like, yeah, Gary, you can stroll forward. And that's what happened. Gary Cahill got the ball in his own half. No one ever came to close him down. So he's like, right, I'll go on a run. And because he had an awful touch, because he was trying to dribble, he got himself sent off. I think he deserved it for trying to dribble.
Yeah, it's one of those challenges where you're going to be annoyed both ways. So if he gets a yellow card, the away fans and the away team are going to be protesting. Like, how on earth is that not red? His foot's above the ground, so it should be a red card offence. I think it shouldn't be a red card offence, but in today's game, it is a red card offence.
Was it good as the referee to be strong against the champions? We always say the little sides don't get the rubber decisions rubber against the top teams. Well, Burnley, small club in comparison to Chelsea, Premier League champions at home. The referee's like, no, I'm going to send Gary Cahill.
Yeah, the referee stood firm, and I think that's a great thing to see, because you've seen it so many times where you're playing away at Old Trafford, you're playing away at Stamford Bridge, you're playing away at Anfield, you're playing away at the Emirates. I could list these top six, top seven teams' grounds, and you don't get the rubber to green. You don't get these sins, but Burnley did, and the 3-0 lead at half-time was totally deserved. They were playing beautifully. Sean Dyche's tactics were just perfect.
Yeah, they were brilliant. They were taking short free kicks, whipping the ball in after Gary Cahill was left. And you've got to have a look at Christiansen, who you said would be a top player. I know it was his first game, hard to come in being a sub after Cahill got red carded. But David Luiz, you're playing against Sam Vokes. You've got to be up against him. He was so far off him on the first goal. It's your job as a centre-half to be commanding and go and win the ball. Are we going to see this season where David Luiz goes back to being the normal David Luiz? He wasn't good enough on both Vokes' goals.
But if you look at the last one as well, the third goal and his second on his brace, like, he's got about a yard of space. Basically a free header. And Sam Vokes does not miss free headers, we know that. Sam Vokes is exceptional at what he does. I think that's the best way I can put it. He's exceptional at being that target man and winning his headers and scoring goals. I mean,
he doesn't want to be a good player. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He just wants to do the things that most strikers don't want to do. He's a great
player. And I think it was the commentary match of the day that summed it up. It's like, yeah, the ball was whipped into the box, free header for Sam Vokes. What else did you expect to happen?
Yeah.
What else did you expect to happen apart from it being 3-0? And I was at the Reading game, I knew they had a man sent off, and I was like, okay, Burnley might have a chance of getting something in this game. And then when I look at my phone or look at the TVs in the concourse at the Majestic Stadium at half time and I see 3-0, I was like, no way.
The other goal scorer, Gareth Bale for Burnley.
Yeah, Gareth Bale.
So Gareth Bale joined Burnley and just put Stephen Ward's top on. Is that right?
That is right.
Because Stephen Ward scored the most Gareth Bale Spurs goal when he was under Harry Redknapp, Andres Villas-Boas, before he joined Real Madrid. It was insane. I was thinking, do you think all the Chelsea players were like, oh, it's all right, it's Stephen Ward? Stephen Ward got the ball. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Oh my God, he's just put it in our top corner. Oh my God. What a goal.
It's a ridiculous finish.
It's a really good finish. Like, we can take the piss out of him as much as we want, which we have done and we will do because it's Stephen Ward. But the quality on that goal, amazing. Defoe was good. Stefan Defoe. Great cross for Vokes' goal. I just love an early cross.
Yeah, just love it.
Yeah, because defenders just don't expect it. They see most tricky wingers go and take on their fullback and then chop back and then chop their fullback again. And the cross takes about 9 days to come in. Defoe was like, give me the ball short from a free kick. I'm whipping it in. Love it. Burnley, though, 9 men in the second half. Fabregas was sent off. Still, it was very squeaky bum time. Why didn't Morata, their highest ever fee they've paid for a player, why is he on their bench? Come on.
I don't know. And the goal he scored was offside as well.
The first one?
Yeah. I think Fabregas or someone hits it across the goal and he just taps it in, like, gets more deflection. But he's a mile offside. The referee and linesman don't see it. They probably think he hasn't touched it. I think Fabregas, what is he doing for the first yellow card? If I want to use a Twitter term, yada, complaining, giving a sarcastic applause, and you get a yellow card for it, you know you're going to get a yellow card for that. Why do it? And then commit a yellow card offence in the second half. It made no sense to me.
It's arrogance. Pure arrogance from the bloke. Maybe because he was upset that he's starting and they're losing to Burnley. When last season he spent most of the season on the bench and he's got his opportunity and he's not taking it as he should do. He's a world-class player. And
yeah, again, it's weird that like even like Bakayoko wasn't starting. Like, you take the two players, Morata and Bakayoko, you spent 100 million on them and they're on your bench.
I know.
And what's different with Chelsea this season is their squad depth seems to just disappear.
Yeah, yeah.
Last season, you had like Hazard, Costa, Fabregas on your bench in the FA Cup semi-final against Spurs. Now, they've loaned out too many players for me.
It looks really bare-boned at the moment.
Because, like, I would have probably sold Bashuai, signed Morata, but keep Tammy Abraham on your bench.
Mm. Or just keep Tammy Abraham and keep Bashuai.
Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Nathan Shalabar. Like, these players were squad depth players Chelsea last season. Obviously not Tammy Abraham, but
is this result expected if you don't start Diego Costa, who's been insane for Chelsea in their two title winning seasons? You've got him partying, getting fat out, I don't know where the hell he is, but he's not playing for Chelsea. And you've not got Eden Hazard. Is that sort of result expected? If you've got them two players playing in that game on Saturday, despite them being down to 9 men.
Burnley winning at Stamford Bridge, right? Although with Burnley's away record last season and how Chelsea were champions, it wasn't like, oh my God, how has this happened? You were like, it was more funny, maybe because I'm a Fulham fan, but it was more funny than anything else. Like, it would be more of a shock, obviously, if Brighton beat City, or, Leicester beating Arsenal wouldn't have been a shock because it's open game of the season, but it wasn't like, oh my God, how has this happened? It's just, you know what Sean Dyche does. He just got his game plan perfect. And Conte is clearly unsettled at the club because he hasn't been given a longer deal. He just got a money raise. So I think he's definitely unsettled at the club. He didn't want to sell Matic, as I said. They sold him to a rival. He hasn't got the players he wanted in. Obviously, he wanted, Morata over Lukaku, and he wanted Bakayoko. But, like, there's so many players he clearly wants and he's not getting. But, again, it's Chelsea. You know how the system works.
Well, we talk about systems. Is this just the Chelsea system? Win a league, capitulate.
No. Yeah, it's weird because even under the likes of Ancelotti, they didn't capitulate under Ancelotti, really.
No.
They weren't performing up to the level they were expecting, but I think that's probably the most unworthy sacking of them all. Apart from the one when he won two back-to-back titles in, what was it, 04-05 and 05-06 under Jose Mourinho for the first time. Yeah, I think maybe this is just what happens with Chelsea.
Yeah.
They win the league, they capitulate for one season, they bring in a new manager, probably Hiddink will come in January again, make them finish in the top four.
It's already a big game on Sunday against Spurs, though.
That is a humongous game.
Because imagine if they lose that to their rivals, to their title rivals, they're already 6 points behind them.
And if they lose to Spurs, that sort of gets rid of any Wembley hoodoo Spurs quotes that I keep seeing, which can just go away because it just is not a thing. I mean, there's arguments that Spurs have made the pitch the same size as White Lane. I don't think that they're
actually... No, they weren't allowed to.
Yeah, they weren't allowed to do that. So, but I think, yeah, if Spurs win, this changes so many things. It means Conte could walk, not straight after the game, but apart from down the tunnel. But then it means Tottenham will be positive on life. They have 6 points out of six, And yeah, again, Chelsea are already 6 points behind.
Do you think Spurs will win?
I can't see any reason why they shouldn't. They looked very, very good on Sunday against Newcastle. Newcastle did put up the fight until John DeShelby decided to be an absolute idiot, as usual, and step on Dele Alli's leg. And obviously, once Harry Kane gets his first goal, he's not going to stop scoring. We know that. And I think Spurs have their own issues, which we'll talk about in another podcast, with their whole transfer situation, how I haven't really signed anyone. And if they sign anyone, you have to Google them because you don't actually have a clue who they are. Like the likes they have in previous seasons with like Nkudu and NG. But I think Spurs are going to win. I think this Chelsea situation is only going to get worse. I really hope it's a repeat of 2 years ago because that'll make me really happy.
It's going to be a brilliant game on Sunday. Can't wait. I might be working it, so I'm basically at the game.
You're basically there.
I'm basically there.
You're basically the manager.
Yeah, Conte, if you want to do my job at Wembley, I'll come and do yours. But I'll probably make sure that
I'll come do the football hour with Antonio Conte instead.
Right, well, that was a good chat. If you're a Chelsea fan, you're probably feeling a bit depressed. And listening to this podcast is not going to make you feel any better.
Me talking about Chelsea is never going to make a Chelsea fan feel good, is it?
No. So this is the Football Hour. Thank you for listening. As I say, subscribe to the pod on iTunes. It's absolutely free. Follow us on Twitter at the Football Hour. Don Betts, thank you.
It's all right.
I've been Alex Mearns. We'll see you again very shortly.
Laters.